Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Of one thing I'm certain, people want answers, and that is precisely what the Creation Answer Book provides: concise, well-researched answers to the single most important apologetic issue, that of origins. The Creation Answer Book demonstrates conclusively that the evolutionary hypothesis is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. In fact, the Cambrian explosion, often called biology's Big Bang, has uprooted Darwin's tree of life. And in the modern era of scientific enlightenment, it is untenable to suppose that, well, something as seemingly simple as a human tear, which, by the way, has no counterpart in the animal kingdom, evolved through unguided, purposeless processes. Furthermore, the Creation Answer Book addresses questions that routinely stumble seekers and also solidify skeptics in opposition to a biblical worldview. And then lastly, the Creation Answer Book delves into one of the most controversial debates in all of Christianity. That debate is the one about Earth's age. The Creation Answer Book, however, is designed not only to answer questions, but also to equip you to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. So if you're a believer, you'll be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect, and if you are not, you'll have ample evidence to believe the opening words of Scripture, "In the beginning God," and that those words correspond to the age of scientific enlightenment in which we now find ourselves. Again, the Creation Answer Book, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And for those who give $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. And do remember as well, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll be pleased to send you the Creation Answer Book as my way of saying thank you for your ongoing monthly support. You can check all that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up today, Kiashra in Junction City, Kansas, listening on the web. I probably butchered the name.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's Kiara.
Kiara, I'm sorry.
No problem. Hank, actually, I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time listener. I've been listening to your broadcast for over 10 years, like with my family, and it's so informative, and I really appreciate what you've done for the Christian community and everything.
Well, thank you.
And what you do. I guess I'll try to get right to it. Quandary here is just the topic of transgenderism and the Bible, and this is something that's really, really personal to me because I am a transgendered woman, and the thing that kind of makes it a little bit difficult for me is that I feel like I'm even at odds with the transgender community because of my faith. I am a Christian person, and I am a music minister, and I know a lot of transgender women will like to say that they were basically born in the wrong body. But see, I don't kind of like buy into that because I know that God made me biologically male, and I won't say that because to me, by saying I was born in the wrong body would be admitting that God made a mistake, and I don't believe that. I have such a fear and love of the Lord, and I'm just at a position right now where it's just like the way that I have been feeling for so long, it just raises so many questions. And I know a lot of people have done research, and I've gone into, I think it's Deuteronomy 22:5, and basically says that the woman should not wear which pertaineth unto a man. I'm just really, really confusing, because I love the Lord and I have faith, and it's just so hard for me. And I'm at odds with my family and so many different things, and I just want to be able to celebrate, and I still want to be able to, like, worship the Lord.
Well, the best thing I can say in response to what you have just said is that the Lord loves you. And you obviously love the Lord, and you care deeply about pleasing the Lord, and nothing could be more wonderful to hear on the part of any sinner. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. We all have our own proclivities, but the fact that you love the Lord and deeply desire to please Him, I am certain is pleasing and delightful in the ears of our Heavenly Father. So bless you for that. The second thing I'd like to tell you is that while I have some understanding of the dilemmas posed by your circumstance, I am not nearly as qualified to answer your question as is my friend Joe Dallas. And since he is a close personal friend and has been on the program many times, I would like to see if there's some way I can connect the two of you. I think that would be greatly more helpful to you in the long run. In addition to that, there's an article that Joe wrote for the Christian Research Journal, which I think is enormously helpful and speaks to most of the issues that you broached in the prologue to your question. It's actually called The Transsexual Dilemma, a dialogue about the ethics of sex change. So I would highly recommend that. I can send that to you just as my gift as a result of our phone conversation here. But I do want you to hang on and see if there's some way we can connect you and Joe and help you more fully and deeply in this circumstance.
Okay. I really appreciate that. And I had one other quick question that's kind of like an off-topic. You had mentioned also when it comes to creationism, and I guess, like, I don't want to take up much of your time, but I guess I'll just pose this to you. What is your opinion of Kent Hovind?
Yeah, I'm not very fond of his dogmatism on a lot of different issues. He's a person that pushes King James Version only. He lends credence to Bible codes, the gospel and the stars, pyramidology, and many other sub-biblical notions. So I'm not very fond of supporting the kinds of things that he pushes, and I'm certainly not fond of his sensationalism.
I understand. I guess my brother had actually told me a little bit about him, and basically when it comes to, you know, creationism in the Bible and dinosaurs, and he seemed to have had a kind of like a legitimate kind of way that he went about it. There's some things I wasn't really liking about, like maybe his attitude and some of the things that his presentation, but I think behind him, I think he is trying to do something positive, but I'll take that.
Yeah, his interpretation of Scripture, quite frankly, is abysmal. For example, in Genesis 6, he holds that fallen angels had sexual relations with women to produce half demon, half human offspring, and it just goes from worse to worse to worse in terms of his interpretation of the Holy Scriptures. So, Kiara, what I'd like to do is have you hang on and see if there's some way that we can connect you up with Joe Dallas.
Okay.
Bless you. Don't be discouraged. Your love for the Lord is infectious.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Deidre in Pickens, South Carolina. Hi, Deidre.
Hey. I'm really scared. I got two quick questions. I got two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can a Christian give their soul to the devil?
No. The answer to that question is emphatically no. I'll get to your second question as soon as you ask it, but I want to just nip this one in the bud. It's an emphatic answer. No, if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and your temple will not be shared with a demon. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and you can rest assured that you can stand strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So if you realize that you are a sinner, have repented of your sin, and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you are his and he is yours, and you can hold on to that as holding on to a certainty.
And the second question is, I was mad at God because I didn't get an answer from him, and I had a fleeting feeling. It was in a second. And I tried to stop it, but it was too late. I had the feeling that I didn't want to be a Christian anymore. And I'm scared that my salvation is gone.
No, it's not. Because losing your salvation is not an act that you commit. The unpardonable sin biblically is a continuous, ongoing, willful rejection of the grace that could be yours. So never think that a fleeting thought would cause you to lose your salvation. It cannot, it does not. And if you can now say that you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you are his and he is yours. And he will continue to work redemptively in your life to cause you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take advantage of the spiritual disciplines, if you spend time building your relationship through prayer, if you get into the Word of God, get the Word of God into you, if you become a vital reproducer member of a healthy, well-balanced church, all of those become the means by which you grow in your relationship and fellowship with the Lord. But do not let Satan put that idea on you. Do not let the world put that idea on you. Biblically, the only possibility for someone to be unredeemed is if they reject the grace that could be theirs. You're not rejecting that grace. In fact, you're fearful that you could lose that grace. So you desire the grace of God. And if you desire the grace of God and have confessed your sins, then you are his and he is yours.
And I have one more other quick question.
By the way, do you remember Peter in the Bible denying Jesus Christ three times? It wasn't just a fleeting thought. It was an outright denial of his Lord. And this was a follower of Christ who was in Christ's inner circle. He was the first person that Jesus Christ called to follow him. And yet, the Lord not only forgave him, but Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," became the cornerstone of the Christian church. So yeah. Be encouraged.
And I have another quick question. Because I've been wanting to talk to you for the longest. In the past, I had tried to sell the Holy Spirit to the devil by picking up something. I know it sounds dumb, but I was scared that I couldn't be forgiven for that either. I had totally forgotten that you couldn't sell the Holy Spirit to the devil.
Well, no, you can't. Nothing belongs to the devil. The earth and all the fullness of it belong to the Lord. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I think that it's really important that you take seriously what we're told to do in Ephesians chapter 6, and that is put on the full armor of God. We should neither overestimate nor underestimate the power of the evil one. We should have a truly balanced view of his power, recognizing that it's dwarfed by the power of God who can hold you and keep you from falling. But that does not minimize the importance of putting on the full armor of God on an ongoing daily basis. And if you don't have my book, please recognize that I'd be happy to give it to you if it becomes a means of growth to you. So just hang on. If you can't afford the book, I'll just send it to you as my gift. And do remember the Holy Spirit is God. Remember that we worship one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. Deidre, hang on. We'll get the book, the covering, out to you one way or the other so you can read it and learn to put on the full armor of God. If you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you are, unfortunately, a casualty in spiritual warfare. Back with more answers in just a few moments.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD, With God on Our Side. Our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. Does God have a salvation plan for the Jews that doesn't involve Christ? Megachurch pastor and founder of Christians United for Israel, John Hagee, says, quote, "Let us put an end to this Christian chatter that all the Jews are lost and can't be in the will of God until they convert to Christianity. For many Christian Zionists, there's no need to evangelize the Jews and every need to ensure Israel's complete control of the land boundaries defined in the Bible. But are they right biblically? Gain new insight on this tough and controversial question. Request your copy of the Revealing DVD with God on Our Side as our thank you when you support CRI with a gift of any amount today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Robert, listening in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Hey, question. This is more on a secondary issue, but I listened to you quite a bit, and I studied John MacArthur quite a bit as the two people that I hold in high esteem of helping my walk, and listened to your Apocalypse Code, and it certainly seems that you and Dr. MacArthur have contrasting opinions on that, and this was the first time that two people that I respected had a difference of opinion, and it kind of made me wonder. I know you have said that many people have many opinions, but only one is right, and I also know that you said you stand shoulder to shoulder in Dr. MacArthur on primary issues, and you do differ in certain secondary things, but I'm just curious how, if you've ever talked to him or debated that issue of how he can view a post Nero dating of Revelation, and you are a pre-Nero dating. I'm just wondered about that.
Well, I've talked to John many times, and the only thing we've argued about is the scorecard after the round of golf. but seriously, look, what we agree on are, just as you communicated, the main and the plain things. We believe that Jesus Christ will come again, and when he does, he will put all things to right. The details of that, however, are details that many have disagreed on throughout all of church history. And as I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I did not even feel remotely equipped to speak on this issue for the first two decades of my public ministry. And so I did not. Instead, I simply said what other people's beliefs were and humbly acknowledged that I wasn't qualified to speak. During that entire time, however, I studied diligently. I kept memorizing. I kept cogitating. I kept contemplating, recognizing that I'm a pygmy standing on the shoulder of giants. I studied keenly the insights of others for many, many years, and as a result of that, felt led of the Holy Spirit to write my book on eschatology. So this did not come as any kind of a knee-jerk reaction, but only after long and diligent study. Again, as you've pointed out, I deeply respect John MacArthur. I think that he has been a blessing to the body of Christ for many years. I revere him as a Bible teacher, and cherish him as a friend, and we'll have to continue to agree to disagree on some of these secondary issues.
Well, I appreciate that answer, and I know you had commented a few weeks ago that on the difference of primary and secondary issues, and that certainly clarified my understanding a bit, just that there's some things that we maybe aren't supposed to know, and I appreciate you referring to First Thessalonians as, you know, whatever we hear, we should test it according to Scripture. That is my plumb line and level, and that is what I should test things through. And I do appreciate your ministry, and I support it, and I support Dr. MacArthur's, and I appreciate all that you do.
Well, I'm glad you support Dr. MacArthur. He is worthy of support. He is a sterling example of a Christian statesman in our epoch of time.
Thank you, Hank.
Blessings. Want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Debbie in Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
the basis for my question is are the different passages in the New Testament that talk about the man being the head of the home like Christ is head of the church, and the wife is to be submissive in all things. And I know that that doesn't mean the extreme things, but what I'm wondering is my husband is Catholic, and I am not. I'm a Protestant, and I'm wondering if that means that I should follow him into the Catholic Church. I have studied the doctrine of the Catholics. I know the differences. I know the, you know, the problem areas that we have with a lot of the different things that they believe. But I just have a hard time getting past this, you know, the unity in the household.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things I would say. First of all, with respect to submission, oftentimes we don't look at the passage in Scripture, particularly Ephesians chapter 5, in context. Long before it tells us, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, I shouldn't say long before, but before, we're told by Paul, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So mutual submission is what is called for in a relationship. And submit also can be a very connotative term. So people read the wrong meaning into the term. What it really means is to yield one's own rights. It doesn't denote obedience. The word obey does not even appear in Scripture with regard to wives, only with respect to children in the context of the family. So submit to one another is basically giving up one's rights to the other. So a husband loves the wife. And just as Jesus is an example of submission in the incarnation, we have the same prerogative to submit to one another out of the bonds of love. So I think what's important is that you love your husband and you yield your rights to him as he does the same for you. Ultimately, however, your commitment is to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I assume that he may also be committed to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you may disagree, but hopefully you're united in the fact that we are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. If you are, you have commonality. There are many things within Roman Catholicism that I have a deep disagreement with. But there are Roman Catholics who hold to the essential that we are saved by God's grace. Now, how they parse out the actual essence of salvation is sometimes a muddy mixture. And again, I can't agree on that, but it's certainly not from an official Roman Catholic standpoint. It's certainly not a crass system of works righteousness. The idea is that we are saved by God's grace, but that grace produces in the life of the believer faith infused with works, and the works are thought to be meritorious. Now, again, I strongly disagree with that, but nonetheless, it's not a crass system of works righteousness as some suppose it to be. So if you can have commonality on what saves you, perhaps you can grow together in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and together, as you grow, find commonality in a church home as well.
Okay.
Did that cloud the issue or clarify it for you?
Well, yeah, I understood everything, but one thing I understand about submission, I mean, one thing that's always been on my mind is like there's mutual submission, but naturally in a marriage it's not going to be mutual submission on everything. And so in those things where there's not mutual submission, because one has a strong opinion on something, then the wife should give in to the husband.
Well, no. I mean, you ultimately have to give in to that which is right. And again, I think that's the importance of understanding the context. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So put your husband before yourself, but the same edict applies to him. He has to put you in front of himself. In that way, you can have a true loving relationship and a picture of what eternity will be, where there won't be a tinge of selfishness in your relationship.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Hugh in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Hugh.
Hi, Hank. I read your book on creation, and I just have a couple questions about it. One is length of days. You state in there that you believe that the universe is billions of years old, and I just and that the days in Genesis don't necessarily mean 24 hours.
No, I do think they're literal days.
What?
I do think that they are literal days. So I take a far more literal approach to the days than do people who are involved in the young earth creationist camp. I think they're literal days, but I don't think that the literal days are meant to give you a timing. So I'm very aware of the fact that if you take seriously the framework of the days, you recognize that all of the days are given except the seventh day with a morning and an evening. So long before there's a sun and a moon, you have morning and day on the first 3 days. The sun and the moon are given in the literary configuration on the fourth day. So I see it as a sequence. I see it as 24-hour days. I see it literally as morning and evening, just as the text says. But I don't think that's meant to give you the timing for how long it took for creation to take place. Rather, I think that it is a way by which you can remember God's creative prowess during the entire framework of your life on seven-day cycles. So each day, you remember God's creative prowess, that God created all things, and that one day those who are created for his glory will spend eternity with him in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. The reason that I hold to an old earth is that I simply do not think that what we see within creation itself, where God has left his fingerprints, that you can legitimately say that all of that took place within 6,000 years. The sequential layers, for example, in the formation of ice cores point to an Earth much older than 6,000 years. And so whatever else you might say, I think it's multiples of the 6,000 years that is presupposed by many people that try to take out of the text of Genesis an actual chronology. I think far better that we're addicted to the notion that God gives us kairos. He gives us his purposes in creation. And if you want to find the chronology of the timing, I think you need to look and study diligently his fingerprints left on the created handiwork in which we now dwell. So again, but this is one of those issues that honest believers have firm differences of opinion on, and we can debate them vigorously. Ultimately, we do not have to divide over them. I'm very concerned, however, with evangelism, which is to say that I want to rightly interpret both general revelation and special revelation so that I can be an appropriate witness to a lost and searching world. Be right back with more answers to your questions.
Leading Christian Zionist Michael Evans considers Palestinians a tainted and brainwashed people and contends that Palestine belongs exclusively to those who are racially and religiously Jewish. How do we respond knowing some of the people Evans denounces are our brothers and sisters in Christ? Hear the stories of Palestinian Christians firsthand on the eye-popping DVD With God on Our Side. It's our thank you for your support gift of any amount today so we can continue sharing the truths you need to hear. To give, just call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In separate articles, Hank Hanegraaff and Steve Gregg make sense of Ezekiel's difficult temple vision. Other topics include, is legislating morality biblical? Did Jesus and Paul preach two different gospels? Are evangelicals really at war with science? An exploration of how Jack Kerouac shaped the life script of today's millennial generation. A summary critique of Mark and Grace Driscoll's controversial book, Real Marriage, The Truth About Sex, Friendship, and Life Together, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe to the journal online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD With God on Our Side, our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. Apologetics is both biblically based and desperately needed in the church today, and yet many younger leaders resist it. Why? The problem lies with some of the people who practice apologetics and with misunderstandings about the apologetic task. Find out why apologetics has a bad name and how we can remedy this in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The eye-catching, content-rich Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication, designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. So many people calling in. I'll try to get to as many questions as I possibly can in this segment, and then I'll stay in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air and continue taking your calls. So if I don't get to you in this hour, I will get to you. And other people can call in the next hour as well, and I'll try to get to their questions as well. That number, 888-ASK-HANK. Again, even after I go off the air, I'll continue answering questions. Let's go back to the phone lines. Duncan, High River, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Duncan.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I had one question in particular, but I just wanted to touch on something you were saying earlier to another caller about something along the lines of losing salvation or not losing salvation, rather. You said a willing ongoing rejection of the grace that could be yours is the only way, essentially, to lose your salvation. So I just kind of wanted you to explain that, because I find that we're all sinners. We all is it the willing that I'm, you know, we all repent as sinners. We need to repent and we need to constantly ask for forgiveness. But what separates that from your definition there of this willing, ongoing rejection?
Yeah, what I'm saying is the unforgivable sin is a continuous, ongoing, willful rejection of the love and grace that could be yours. Secondly, what I'm saying is in the historical context, those who committed the unforgivable sin were those who knew that Jesus Christ emerged through the portrait of Old Testament prophecies and yet rejected Jesus Christ and said that his miracles were done by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. They did that with premeditation and forethought. And therefore, they, Jesus knowing their heart, were considered to have committed the unforgivable sin. But what I'm stating explicitly here is that as long as a person seeks forgiveness in this life, they have not committed the unforgivable sin. Their heart has not been hardened. So if someone, no matter what they've done in the past, if someone is willing to recognize their sin and then repent of that sin and embrace the goodness and grace that can be theirs, given freely through the finished work of Jesus Christ, then Christ is theirs and they are Christ's, and no one can snatch them out of the hand of Christ.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, I appreciate that answer for sure.
But remember that even with what I said, if we are redeemed, we are still redeemed sinners, or as Luther used to say, snow-covered dung. And that is why John tells us in his gospel, or not his gospel, but in his epistle, the first epistle, he tells us that we must confess our sin, not because we don't have union with God, but we don't want to break our communion, our conversation with God through unconfessed sin.
Okay. I'm just going to give you my next question, then I'm going to hang up and let you answer it here. It's a short one. We're talking about it in a theology discussion that we have with some men at my church, and the question was, does God change his mind? Knowing God's nature is unchanging, does his mind change? And one person brought up Isaiah 38, where Hezekiah was given an extra 15 years to live. That's my question regarding God's nature, and does he change his mind? I'm going to hang up and let you answer
sure.
that.
Sure, yeah. Well, the answer to that is that God is unchangeable, and James tells us that. So the question has always been, if that is true, how come God spares Nineveh? That's the classic case in point. And let me, by analogy, simply say this. I can walk into a strong east wind, and therefore the wind is in my face. But if I turn and walk west, the wind now is no longer in my face, it is in my back. Now, there's no change in the wind. My change of direction has brought me into a new relationship with the wind. And that's the same thing that's going on in Nineveh's repentance. Their repentance brought them into a new relationship with God. And although God does not change, the meaning of the word repent has changed over time. And therefore, in place of the word repent, most modern English translations substitute the word regret or grieve. So as a human father will grieve over rebellion on the part of his children, our Heavenly Father grieves over rebellion on the part of his creation. God's repentance must be understood as an anthropomorphism, communicating the full measure of God's grief over the horror of sin rather than, of course, a change of heart or a change of mind. And again, when I say anthropomorphism, I'm talking about a heavenly condescension, God speaking in language that we as human beings can relate to. So with respect to the faithfulness of God, there is never any change. There is faithlessness on the part of human beings. Consider Saul, where God says, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king." And yet, the very same context says that the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. So apart from an anthropomorphic understanding, a passage like that would end up being self-refuting. So that's the principle in answering your question. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joe. He's listening in Hackensack, New Jersey, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. My question is, Protestants say they don't believe that Mary was an ever-Virgin Mary. Well, why did Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, and all the way up to Charles Wesley all believe these doctrines? And they didn't believe that she had children. And you also say that communion, you say that it's not really the body and blood of Christ. But why is there the curses and condemnations of taking it unworthily? Okay, if it was a symbol, I think the Protestants are getting it messed up, because I'm Orthodox Christian and we don't word it the same way as transubstantiation as Catholics. Catholics go a little farther. We believe that it still says the blood and it still is a symbol of bread and wine. There's no physical change. I think that's where evangelicals are getting a little off on. They're thinking of the Roman Catholic interpretation, not what the biblical interpretation is.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with your interpretation. I do disagree with the idea of transubstantiation, where you have a literal change in substance. Seems like you disagree with that as well. As far as Mary having other children is concerned, I think that was your first question, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. The reason I have the view that I do is I test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good. And if you look at Matthew, I think it's 13, you have a clear indication that Mary and Joseph had other children. So this is my point of view based on my analogy of the analysis of the text. Also, Matthew chapter 1 seems to imply that Mary had sexual relations with Joseph after Jesus was born. So that's the reason I hold those views in distinction.
Can I say something, Hank?
Yeah, absolutely. I hope we're having a conversation.
Do you understand that maybe, and I was told by people that speak, I'm Orthodox Christian, and there are people in the Assyrian Orthodox Church that speak the language of Jesus, the Aramaic, and they will tell you, if you ask any Assyrian, there is no word for cousin in the Aramaic word. They use the word brethren. Just like, remember when Jesus was lost, when he was walking with his kinsmen, and it says their kinsmen and their brother and Mary and Joseph went back to the temple and they found him, and they said, "Well, what are you doing in the temple?" And Jesus said, "Am I not supposed to be in my Father's house?" So it says clearly in there that he was with his brethren when he was walking, and kinsmen, they used that word intermediately.
Well, yeah, but words are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. And the word Adelphus is the normal word in the original language for blood brother, and it is never used for cousin in the New Testament. So I think that we have to take seriously what the Scripture is actually telling us, as opposed to go through some kind of circuitous route at getting the interpretation that we want. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Joel next, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Joel.
Appreciate your ministry. It's been a tremendous help for me. I grew up Catholic. They never taught me how to read the Bible. And so after my parents divorced, I was exposed to agnosticism. I became a Gnostic, messed with tarot cards. And your ministry has really helped me find my place after looking back and realizing that Christ was the right way for me to go. And I really appreciate everything you've done for me on a personal basis. My question is, Joel Osteen is really, really, really popular with my mom and father's side of the families. And could you go back over, I know you've mentioned it before, what exactly his errors are in the way he preaches?
Yeah, the major issue is that he teaches a word of faith message. And in short, I only have just a few moments. In short, the idea is that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. So if you speak words of faith, you can have everything that's not glued down. Conversely, if you speak words of fear, then whatever happens to you is a function of what you have stated. That's a very deadly and disastrous doctrine. So if you speak something out, he says you give birth to it, and that is a spiritual principle from his perspective and works whether what you are saying is good or bad, positive or negative. I'll also briefly say this, that he continuously wrenches Scripture out of context to communicate his own pretext or his own predilections with respect to whatever he's teaching. I've written about this in a lot of detail in my book, Christianity in Crisis. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Let me mention to everybody hanging on, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, please do be patient. I will get to you. And if you're dialing in, do remember the number for the next hour. You can dial and ask your question, that number, 888-ASK-HANK. For everybody tuning into the live broadcast today, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has deepened your understanding of the Scriptures and equipped you to better defend your faith. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD, With God on Our Side. Our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274.